So tonight we're going to do a documentary, and it's going to take most of the broadcast tonight and Monday to do this documentary. It's an excellent one. I screened it. It's good. It's got some of my favorite people in it. I really like Barry Chamish. He's really cool. He's a Jewish guy, but he's totally cool, and he's got a great. He exposes the Bolsheviks and the Jews who were behind killing the other Jews and the whole mess with the New World Order. And he's fully aware of the Masons and the Vatican's role and the whole everything that's going on with corrupt Israel and all that. And he's a decent guy. Barry Chamish is in it. I think his name's Eric John Phelps is one of the other guys who's got excellent commentary. It's a good one, Ed. So I really, those who do not know history are doomed to repeat it. And until we realize that there is a multi-generational enduring over the centuries, not just the decades, but the centuries, very powerful players with agendas that pass the torch along to the next generation. They have screening and protocols that they need to go through, like the protocols of Zion that they have to be familiar with and willing to play by those rules. That's the playbook. But don't forget, the elders of Zion, the Illuminati bankers and the Illuminists, as they call themselves, the royal families, these really, I mean, the Rothschilds, you know, they can barely tie their own shoes. They couldn't build a house. They couldn't farm a field. They couldn't write a song that was any good. They're really pretty much worthless. You want to talk about the ultimate dregs of society. They just happened to rise to the top because they were ruthless and willing to kill and commit murder and often genocide on a mass scale to get where they are. Steal, loot other countries and nations through economic hitmen like we do today. Over the centuries, they've done the same thing and acquire as much gold and land as they can, and then they can hire armies to enforce whatever. Look at what we got going on today. No matter, I was on another broadcast on a local radio station in Nevada, and they were talking about how even though the Supreme Court has ruled this in favor of the right to travel, and, you know, the common law says that, you know, although the officials have taken an oath to uphold the Constitution, they still deny it and defy it, and the state police go out and arrest people for whatever that the legislature tells them to do. They can get away with anything, and that's why we're going down the same path that Nazi Germany did pre-World War II, and the Soviets and the Chinese and all the other tyrannies. It's not much different today. It's the same players behind the scenes, because don't forget, since 1913, when the 16th Amendment was passed, and they quote-unquote legalized the private banker takeover of our currency, where the private bankers print the currency and loan it back to the Treasury, loan it back to the American people, loan it back to our government, so we can get 6% or 5% or whatever the interest rate is, more, and that's buried us in a perpetual debt that we can never get out of. And until we start talking about that, like Ron Paul did, we're not going to have anything even close to getting back on our feet. So, you know, for Trump to do what he's doing, just march us off to more war, ignore the Federal Reserve, while at the same time ignoring the problem with the private Federal Reserve banker nightmare, it is, you know, marching us off to having a drug war home while, you know, ignoring the military-industrial complex problems, you know, cutting taxes a little bit, but leaving the millionaire tax at 39% and leaving the private property titles to all of our houses and homes and land in the hands of the county clerk. Nope, nothing to get our private property back. I mean, it really is the same old meet the new boss, same as the old boss. And so those who do not know history are doomed to repeat it. And if we don't understand, this is why I'm always harping on it. I want people to focus on the vicars, because the back to what I was just saying, which is the royal families and the wealthy sluts who run the world really aren't good for much. They need helpers and executioners to do everything, you know, for ranch hands and farmers and chauffeurs and silver polishers and hitmen and armies. Seriously, this is, and look at the Rothschild banking holdings. I mean, they, and the Vatican Bank, between the two of them and the royal families, they got everything. They get the big block stockholders and all the multinational corporations. Those corporations are nothing. Tillerson's a nobody. He's a bootlicker for the people who own the stock in his company, ExxonMobil. It's one of the largest monopolies. Whatever happened to trust, busting up the monopolies and the trust, the antitrust laws, boy, they repealed that with the Glass-Steagall, when they repealed that with the, I forget the name of the bill in the 90s, that allowed the monopolies, corporations to just, well, go right back for it like they did in the 20s and the late 1800s, just merge together and form one giant one world company for everything. So anyway, those who do not know history are doomed to repeat it. The people at the top of the pyramid need executioners, and who do they use as their prime chief main executioner? The royal families and the Rothschilds. They need the church. They need the Church of Rome. They need the Church of England. They need the Islamic churches, the Islamic mosques. They need the Jewish temples. They need the religions. They need the Pope. They need to have their people in place. That's where the power is exercised from. There may be wealthier string pullers that influence the Pope himself, or the dark forces behind the Pope that we see, because we know there's a shadow popery and a shadow Vatican government, just like there is with ours, a government behind the scenes. The people you see on TV do not run the world. And the people who really run the world, you'll never see them on TV. So that's kind of a short way to put it out to people who think that what they're seeing is reality, and it may be a part of reality, but it's only a sliver and the lower levels of reality. And of course, to keep us all in the lower mind, which is fighting each other left and right, Islam, Christian, Mexican American, black and white. Don't let them have your mind. Don't let them get you angry and impassioned and emotional to battle with other groups based on whatever, their religion, their color, their political belief, what have you. So most of these masked provocateurs are agent provocateurs, and that means agents of the government, usually police intelligence agencies. That's why they cover their faces, and they're always doing violence. It's to bring the force of the police state down on the legitimate protesters who are actually just protesting and want a better world and want less corporate control over their life, et cetera, et cetera. So most of the violent protests are government related in some way or another, whether directly or indirectly or through a corporation, a security corporation. There's a lot of them who will be, I mean, look at InfraGuard, private security. I mean, the merger of the public and private, the lines are so obscured. What is public and what is private? You can know, though, everything's pretty much privatized, even if it says public now, because the stakeholders and the shareholders are, once again, the Rothschilds, the royal families, the Church of Rome. So they need these entities at the top of the pyramid need the Vatican. That's where their henchmen, that's where the highest level power is put out from. So, you know, you can even say, well, maybe this Zionist banker owns some of the paper on the Vatican. Well, they still need that Vatican. That's their power. That's their hit squad. That's just a short, quick way to put it in very much layman's terms. And we'll open it up here in this documentary tonight. We're going to get to it in just a minute or two, one or probably two or three more minutes, and we'll start it. We're going to do half tonight, half Monday. But this is why, and I want people to remember that this, everything you're going to hear in this documentary about the Vatican being the power structure and where all the presidents go and bow their knee. And they show pictures during the documentary. If you can't, you know, watch it, you know, at least you'll know that when at my screening, I mean, they backed everything up with photos of the actual, what they were talking about was backed up by great documents and just live shots of, you know, presidents bowing and bending their knee and getting down on all fours for the Pope and doing a ridiculously, you know, forgive the expression, bootlicking things to the pimp from Rome who comes in. Very powerful. And so I would argue that the Church of Rome is absolutely one of the top wealthiest entities in the world, maybe the single wealthiest entity over the royal families and the Rothschilds, because if they're holding the treasures of Solomon's Temple, like I think they are, among other technologies and treasures from the Crusades forward, when they sent the troops off to the Middle East, that was a looting of the artifacts and everything that was from the ancient times. So I think they're sitting on treasures that are unimaginable, as well as technology. I think because the Vatican hitmen through the Jesuits are absolutely ruthless and will commit murder, even to the point of suicide. They'll run themselves right over a cliff to complete the mission and further the agenda. They're not like us. They don't have a respect for life, including their own. The agenda, they swear to it in their oath. The oath is bizarre and disgusting, and we'll read that sometime, the Jesuit oath. It's awful. It's about, you know, you could, it's just, it's horrible. But this is where the power is. whether the financiers or the Zionists. You really have to, you know, I'm the type of guy that focuses on the executioner. Without the execution squad, without the Church of Rome and the Church of England and the Jesuits and the underneath the Jesuits, the CIA, MI6, the Mossad, without that power structure and that pyramid, the Zionist elders with their protocols, they won't get doodly squat done. Nothing. They got to have the executioner, okay? The witch's court can issue whatever bullshit, I'm sorry, that it wants to do. But if the police aren't stupid enough to go out and do it, it doesn't get done. And the common law is adhered to. And the states and the courts aren't going to perpetrate this absolute fraud that somehow the state or society is somehow a victim because we disobeyed an admiralty statute. None of us have agreed to conscript in the witches or the government's military. If you want to, go ahead. God bless you. But beware of that one, because right now, the U.S. military is nothing more than a corporate hit squad being abused and misused by people like Henry Kissinger, who seems to be well-liked by the White House and its operatives, including Trump and Roger Stone. And all have, they don't tell you he's a mass murderer who's committed genocide on a worldwide level. He's the one that put China in its place to destroy us in the future and the present. And saying all we hear about is, what, Soros? I mean, come on, we're going to talk Soros, we're talking Kissinger out of the same breath. We're going to talk Clinton Foundation. We're talking Carlyle Group. We're going to talk about put white stripes on the black robes of Hillary and Obama, Bush and Cheney as well. So otherwise, we're not honest and we're not complete. And with that, I'd like to thank people for joining this broadcast. Support the network, people. This is where you're going to hear the truth. And I'd like to let you know we'll bring back Gary and Chris next week. Lori will be with us as well. This is the Friday broadcast, so I thought it would be a great night to get this documentary on. It'll be replayed throughout the weekend. Be a force multiplier and post a link to this broadcast or put this broadcast in like a file, like a PDF file, where people can just hit a button and download it, copy it out, whether it's a printed document like the jury nullification flyer at courtroomwatch.org or whether it's this broadcast in an audio file. Put it in an audio file. Make it simple so somebody doesn't have to go through too many hoops. Just click on and say, here's some truth. There's the Republic Broadcasting Network. They call it the Republic Broadcasting Network for a reason. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. The name says it all. And just to get people out there, get them listening to this broadcast, support the sponsors of this broadcast when you need to buy something. See if you can buy it from someone who's helping out the Republic Broadcasting Network with advertisement. So thanks for joining us tonight. This is the Vatican Secret Societies and the New World Order. This is where the power comes from. And don't forget, while you're listening to this, remember there's a vicar general and most likely a judicial vicar. Whose judicial do you think he's vicaring? Right in a neighbor, in a city near you, probably the city you're living in. If you're in a smaller town or township, it'll be the nearest city. We'll definitely be looking at you as if they exercise their jurisdiction over you. And I've seen it happen through the courts of throwing everything from Social Security settlements to estates to children seized by CPS to entities and agencies managed by the Vicar General. They're all over the country. You look up their names on the internet, just look up your diocese, and look up the Vicar General, V-I-C-A-R, Vicar General and Judicial Vicar. The Vicar General holding, who could absolutely, with him and the Archbishop, could absolutely put the squeeze on the right places and get the Bundys released. The Vicar General in Las Vegas is Robert Stokig. His secretary is Karen Roberts. I urge people to call her, call them, ask them if they're godly people. They purport to be godly, and we know they're very powerful. We respectfully command that you do anything and everything in your power to facilitate the release of the Bundys and company. Same with Tom LaGuevara. The Vicar General is Peter Smith. The Judicial Vicar is Patrick Brennan. They're right there online. Look them up. Call them. Tell them if you're godly entities, and we know you're extremely powerful, don't insult our intelligence. I want you to do anything and everything you can to facilitate the release of Tom LaGuevara. Technically, he's been released even by the witch's court. They won't let him out because they can't find a room for him at the halfway house. What a bunch of BS. What a cheap excuse to hold somebody as a kidnapping victim who never hurt anybody Tom LaGuevara, Cliven Bundy, Pete Santilli, the list of people, never hurt no one. And here they are sitting in prison for over a year, going on 2 years, for victimless offenses by a communist government working at the behest of the banking establishment, with the ultimate power structure being executed out of Rome through the Jesuits at the top, down through the intelligence agencies domestically and foreign, and, of course, their related corporations that do similar work. All right, so here we go. Thanks for listening to the broadcast. It is Eric the Freedom Screamer on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Support the network. We'll see you again Monday. Here we go. I want to thank Mike on the board. I want to thank Mike Herzog, John Stattmiller. Stay with us, everybody. This is an interesting, very interesting documentary. We're only going to get halfway through it tonight. Don't freak out. We'll be back Monday to finish her up. So Mike will take care of pausing it at the right time. Mike is a miracle worker, and we appreciate everything he does on the board. So thanks again to everybody, and we'll see you again on Monday. Here we go. Thanks, Mike. See you, everybody.
In June of 1864, the war between the states was entering its final year, and one of the main thoughts that occupied President Abraham Lincoln's mind was the part played by Rome in the war. Lincoln said repeatedly, "This war would never have been possible without the sinister influence of the Jesuits. We owe it to Popery that we now see our land reddened with the blood of her noblest sons." This seems to be a strange statement by President Lincoln, considering what is taught today about the war between the states. Nothing is ever mentioned of a religious element in the war, or that the Pope and the Jesuit order were intimately involved. But Lincoln was not the only voice raised in opposition to the Pope's meddling in the affairs of this country at that time. Samuel Morse, the inventor of Morse code, traveled to Europe and Rome in 1830 to do his own investigation into the conspiracies hatched against America. After returning home to the United States, Morse wrote two books warning Americans of the threat from Rome. Morse would continue sounding the alarm throughout the 1800s and went to discuss the situation with Lincoln after his inauguration.
Samuel Morse, of course, is the inventor of Morse code that was used for many, many years. And Samuel Morse wrote a book called Foreign Conspiracies Against the Liberties of the United States. It was published in 1835. And he shows in that book that the Holy Alliance and the Leupold Foundation out of Austria, controlled by the Jesuits, and the Jesuits themselves were the agents to overthrow the liberties of the United States, the Federal Republic of the United States, and to replace it with a papal centralized government as the Vatican is run.
But today, one looks around us to see U.S. presidents and congressmen and women groveling before the Pope.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Lincoln's words would seem ironic. Consider this also. In April 2008, the President of the United States, George W. Bush, rushed out to meet the Pope at his plane. Does this not seem to be odd behavior? For the first time in history, a U.S. president went out to meet a religious leader, or for that matter, any leader, upon his entry into the U.S.
No president in the entire history of the United States has ever greeted a foreign diplomat like that, ever. They wait until they're brought into Washington or something. They don't go out on the tarmac. This is a first.
What makes this even more egregious is that the current Pope is a former head of the Office of Inquisition and a former member of the Nazi Party in his youth.
You know, the Cardinal Ratzinger was the Grand Inquisitor of the Vatican before he became Pope Benedict. You're aware of that. I assume other people are not aware of that. For a Jew, the Inquisition has such awful, awful memories, and we are inviting the head of the Inquisition to the Jewish state. I gave a lecture yesterday, and these are the points that I brought up. You don't invite the Grand Inquisitor to Israel. It's that simple.
How did we go from a nation on the alert against the Pope and the Jesuits' desire to bring America down to one of accepting them as friends? Simply put, we have sold out. It has not gone unnoticed that several Protestant presidents have attended Mass and taken communion at Catholic churches. Since one cannot take communion at a Roman Catholic service if one is not Catholic, several presidents have misled their supporters into thinking they are Protestant when they are not. Furthermore, those in power are often Roman Catholics outright, so it is expected that they will obey orders from the Pope. From U.S. presidents to kings and queens to religious leaders throughout the world, those in power meet the Pope and bow down to him. Even when President Obama went to the Vatican in July 2009 to discuss the world economic situation, he too bowed to the Pope. Upon leaving, President Obama said, "We look forward to a very strong relationship between our two countries." It is important to remember these words of President Obama and what they mean. The Pope is not just a spiritual ruler, he is a territorial ruler. The name of his country since 1929 is Vatican City.
The Pope is a monarch. He actually, according to various books, the Pope is the monarch of the world. Not just a religious leader, he is actually a political leader. The Vatican is actually a small area over in Rome whereby the Pope is the ruler of that small area. The actual name Vatican I found very interesting. It actually means worship of the divine serpent. So we find that the very basis of the Vatican, the very word itself, means the worship of serpents.
But from Rome's perspective, the Pope rules over more than Vatican City. He rules over the earth, both spiritually and materially, or temporally. According to the Roman Catholic teaching, the Pope can keep you out of heaven, and he has absolute authority over you on earth.
And when I speak of the Pope, I speak of the papacy, that the papacy claims its two powers. Its first power is universal spiritual power over all individuals, that every person must be subject to the spiritual power of the Pope, that there is no salvation outside of the Catholic Church, which is the doctrine of the Council of Trent, as reaffirmed in the documents of Vatican II of the 1960s. It's still on the books of canon law. And the other power of the Pope, which is the second key, as you see the two keys in the Pope's flag with the triple crown, Lord of Heaven, Lord of Earth, Lord of Hell, and the two keys, spiritual power, the second key is the temporal power. And the temporal power is this, that the Pope believes he has the right to rule the government, the civil government of every nation. That temporal power has never been denied, it's never been disclaimed.
But there is no question that the Pope wields both swords, both a spiritual sword that the public sees, as well as a political sword, which most people do not see.
So it is very interesting and unsettling to those who love freedom and the right to worship God as one sees fit, to see our leaders submitting to the Pope of Rome.
The smoke is rising in the shadows overhead.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, And for some, there is no choice. But again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Now, let us revisit Lincoln's words. We have discussed the popes and the papacy, but what about the other group Lincoln mentioned? He spoke of the sinister influence of the Jesuits. Who are the Jesuits?
Jesuits are a group of people that were raised up right around 1535, 1540. Their leader was Ignatius Loyola. They basically had two purposes. One purpose was to destroy the Protestant Reformation. Because as you remember, Martin Luther had appeared at the Diet of Worms in 1521, stood before Charles V and the Holy Roman Empire. And so the Catholic Church sought to stop the Protestant Reformation that Luther began, and they couldn't do it. And so about 20 years after Luther stood at the Diet of Worms, the Jesuit order was created. And one of their purposes was to destroy every vestige of the Protestant Reformation, both in the religious realm, in the political realm, and in the economic realm, because the Protestant Reformation not only affected the religious arena, it also affected the political and the economic arenas as well. That was one goal of the Jesuit order. The other aspect was to restore the supremacy and dominance of the Pope throughout the world.
The Jesuit order has directed popes concerning policy, both foreign and domestic, since 1540, in particular, since the Council of Trent.
The Council of Trent, indeed. It started in 1545. It went for the next 18 years. That doesn't mean that they stayed there for 18 years. They met in different places. But over that period of time, the various leaders of the Catholic Church and the newly formed Jesuit order would come together from time to time and discuss how the Catholic Church would respond to the teachings of the Protestant Reformation. Would they accept them or would they completely reject them?
So the doctrines that were being championed at the Reformation, the doctrines of grace, justification by grace through faith, justification by faith alone, sola scriptura, only the scriptures, by grace alone, through faith alone, etc., etc., no baptismal regeneration, that there is only salvation in Christ, that we do not participate in our salvation, it's not a joint effort of man and God, etc., etc., etc. All the doctrines championed by the Reformers were absolutely accursed and condemned and reprobated by the Council of Trent that the Jesuits really oversaw from 1545 to 1563. It was an 18-year council in the town of Trent, Italy, and that is the foundation of what we call the Counter-Reformation.
And the Council of Trent laid out the focal point, the direction that the Catholic Church would go for the next four centuries. basically at the Council of Trent, they decided that tradition and what the church fathers of the Catholic Church taught would continue to be the sole authority in the Catholic Church. Now, of course, there's other aspects of that, other teachings that branch off from that, but that is the basic sum of the Council of Trent, that tradition would still rule the Catholic Church. The anathemas that they have come out with that came from the Council of Trent to destroy heretics, to destroy those who would uphold the Word of God, those still live today.
That's correct. The papacy has not rescinded any of the curses set forth in the Council of Trent. In fact, the Council of Trent ends and says, accursed be all heretics. Accursed, accursed. Every pope has to swear to uphold the Council of Trent. And if you read the documents of Vatican II, put together by Abbott, it shows you right there that every pope must swear to uphold the Council of Trent, even though in the 60s, when they were calling heretics separated brethren, with that delusion and illusion, they still did uphold the Council of Trent, as well as all the former papal bulls condemning heretics and calling for kings to kill them out of their dominions, like the doctrines of Pius IV.
The head of the Jesuits is the Superior General of the Order. He is called the Black Pope.
The head of the Jesuit Order is the Black Pope. The man who is currently there, he was just recently elected Nicholas Adolphus. The Black Pope is the head of the Jesuit Order. He is called the Black Pope not because he is of African origin, but because he is in the dark. We see the White Pope, we see Pope Benedict XVI, because he's visible and all the world knows who he is. But the Black Pope remains in the dark, behind the scenes, and so few people know he even exists. But that's why he's called the Black Pope, and he's the one who heads the Jesuit order.
There is an ongoing war against anyone who resists the power of the Pope. And this war is directed by the Jesuits. This war is not waged openly by the Jesuits. The Society of Jesus moves in the shadows. They infiltrate and get others to do the dirty work of assassination. If armed conflict is needed, they use the army of one nation to bring a disobedient nation to its knees.
The Jesuits would do that very thing. They were very intelligent. They're still very intelligent people. What they would do is they would infiltrate. They did it through economics, through the merchants. They would then come in, start teaching. They were very wise people. They would then infiltrate not only into schools, but they then would infiltrate into local government and then rise up to higher government officials. We find that repeatedly in the book by Avril Manhattan called Vietnam, Why Did We Go?, where he talks about how they followed this exact plan throughout Southeast Asia. They did it in Japan. They did it in China. They did it in Korea. They did it in Vietnam. They did it all along the Pacific Rim. Well, eventually what would happen, you would have created Catholic cities where all the people in towns would become Catholics. Well, they would then try to put their Catholic ideals onto the major religious populace of a country. In the Far East, of course, the major religious populace would be the Buddhists. So these Catholics in these countries, these converts to Catholicism, they would try to push their Catholicism on their Buddhist friends. And when the Buddhist friends rejected it, the Catholics would start to use force. Well, then the Buddhists would appeal to the local governments, the state governments, the national governments, and then there would be revolution. It got so bad in Japan that in 1639, the Japanese emperor, he said, no more Catholics, no more Europeans will come to our island again. And that ban stayed there for almost two centuries. This happened throughout the Far East and in other countries throughout the world.
Why has this assault on the non-Catholic world been ignored by most people, especially Protestant ministers?
Billy Graham is not, he didn't protest towards the latter part of his life. For the first part, I think he was solid when he first started. But along around the early 60s, his voice was silenced. Robert Schuller, Paul Crouch, Hal Lindsey, Pat Robertson, James Dobson, all of these men, they're not protesting. What they have become are agents of Rome. I remember back when I was starting my student teaching, I was teaching seventh grade history to young people talking about the Pilgrims and Puritans coming over to America. The book said absolutely nothing about why they were coming to America. And I was just reading, and I've got a book here called The Rothschild Money Trust, and also a book about the Rockefellers, The Rockefeller File by Gary Allen. But these people have set up trusts, and they have rewritten the history books. They have rewritten the history books so that the seventh grade history book that I was teaching out of said nothing about the Reformations.
We have to remember that the papacy, specifically the Black Pope, controls all high-level Freemasonry. That includes the Pope's Masonic Jewish Zionist running his Kingdom of Jerusalem. That includes the top Freemasons in this country, especially the temple there in Washington, D.C. That includes all of your big evangelists. For example, Billy Graham is a 33rd degree Freemason. Now, I know the Billy Graham organization denies that, but it's still the truth because we know, according to the honest 33rd degree Freemason who was truly converted to Christ when he believed the gospel and was saved by the grace of God, his name was Jim Shaw, that when he was inducted into the order of the 33rd degree in Washington, D.C., he said there were two former presidents there on that in that council, and one of them was Gerald Ford, a 33rd degree Freemason who pardoned Nixon, and the other was Jimmy Carter, 33rd degree Freemason. So there they are at the Grand Council. Another one was an international evangelist, which he later told others that it was Billy Graham because the publisher refused to put Billy Graham's name in there. So Billy Graham was there. So Billy Graham is nothing more than the high-level Masonic shill for the papacy, which is also fraught with Freemasons, if you read the book In God's Name by David Yalop. And so we talk about Robert Schuller, for example. Robert Schuller is another 33rd degree Freemason. He went to Rome to get the Pope's blessing to build his crystal cathedral. And Robert Schuller is a personal friend of the anti-white, hateful racist Louis Farrakhan, who is another high-level Freemason who runs the Nation of Islam for the Archbishop of Chicago. So we have all these high-level Masonic leaders, black and white, of all these various different religions, working together for agitation among the peoples of this country, but never, ever exposing the papacy as the true heart and soul and its real master.
All of this sounds incredible. It becomes less so when one examines the oath of the Jesuits.
We have to understand that these men have died to their own self-will. It's something a Christian should do. It's the way we should be. We have no life anymore. Our life is, we're dead with Christ and we're hidden God with him. When Christ is revealed, who is our life, then we shall be revealed with him in glory. We need to learn to die to ourselves and count our lives as nothing. That our only purpose is to do the will of our master. And when he's finished with us, then let us die. The Jesuits have done this, but they do it for the devil. And so they have completely been emptied of their own personalities, and upon the order of their commander will do exactly what they're told. There's no such thing as a disobedient Jesuit. They're all under orders. They've been trained for 15 years. They're soldiers. They're more of a Marine Corps than the Marines. The Marines were fashioned after the Jesuit order. You break the man down in boot camp, you rob him of his personality, you shave his head, you put all the same clothes on him, they're all treated the same, they're treated like dirt, we're going to rob you of your will so that we can mold you into what we want you. That's all Jesuit. So, this is how they think. And given the order, they will kill you, me, themselves, their mother, anything they're ordered to do, that is what they will do. We're going to bring down 9/11 today, gentlemen. Okay, give me the order. What we do, what button we push, do I need to be inside, outside, what is it? And that's what they'll do. We need to bring down the Pentagon today. We need to blow up Arizona in Pearl Harbor in 1941. Okay, I'll be there. What's my orders? They're all under orders. And this is why you can have no country with a Jesuit presence in it. They have to be expelled. And all their agents that they work through must be expelled. And this is exactly what Tsar Alexander I did in 1820. He kicked out all the Jesuits out of Russia. In 1822, he shut down all the Masonic lodges. And in 1825, he was poisoned. So this is the Jesuit mindset, and we should read the spiritual exercises. We should read some of their works. We need to read the Jesuit doctrines of regicide, how it's no murder to kill a heretic, how it's okay to lie, cheat, and steal, how it's okay to kill your enemy, how it's okay to kill a woman that you commit adultery with. If she should want to tell on you, you can kill her. It's all right in there in their canon law. It's okay to steal. The whole world is their candy shop, where they can steal everything they can get their hands on to consolidate it under the power of the Jesuit order. And if that means killing kings or sinking ships, even if it causes their own death, they do it for the greater glory of God. Ad majorem Dei gloriam.
When a Jesuit priest is elevated to a position of high command, he is administered what is called the Jesuit Extreme Oath of Induction. This oath has been called the Fourth Vow, or the Blood Oath, given to those in the Society of Jesus besides the traditional vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. A copy of the Extreme Oath can be found in the Congressional Record.
I want to read a statement to you, which is the Jesuit Oath. It says, this is the Jesuit Oath. I do further promise and declare that I will have no opinion or will of my own, that's from the Spiritual Exercises of Loyola, or any mental reservation whatever, even as a corpse or cadaver, but will unhesitatingly obey each and every command that I may receive from my superiors in the militia of the Pope. I furthermore promise and declare that I will make and wage relentless war, as I am directed to do, to extirpate and exterminate Protestants and liberals from the face of the whole earth. I will neither spare age, sex, or condition. I will hang, burn, waste, boil, flay, strangle, and bury alive these infamous heretics, rip up the stomachs and wombs of their women, and crush their infants' heads against the wall in order to annihilate forever their execrable race. And then it goes on. The point being, throughout the history of the Jesuit order, they will shoot, they will burn, they will flay, they will do whatever it takes to destroy anybody who stands in the way of what they want to do.
In 2009, the Jesuit general was confronted about the oath.
One of the things in your Jesuit high oath, I think it says something about, furthermore, you promise to declare that we'll, at the first opportunity, seek war at any opportunity against heretics, Protestants, liberals.
What is that?
See here? And we'll spare neither age nor sex nor condition, and I will hang, waste, boil, flays. You've never seen this before?
No, I've never seen it.
Strangle, bury alive. It's horrible. And I was like, look, it's...
It's
in the Congressional Record.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming.
Does the oath and activities of the Jesuit reflect anything Christian? Or is it as Jesus said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves? What else do we know about the Jesuits? They have been thrown out of 83 countries over the last 500 years. That is correct. 83 countries have physically removed them. And why was it necessary to remove them? In a word, power. The Jesuits have throughout history sought to take over and control every country in which they reside. Since their beginning in 1540, the Jesuits' power grew until they controlled the papacy, the Roman Catholic Church, and many of the governments of the world. In 1773, all of that changed. One by one, countries began to expel the Jesuits from their borders. This culminated in the suppression or abolishment of the Jesuits in 1773. In that year, Pope Clement XIV officially disbanded the order forever. This providential act enabled a nation based on religious liberty to be formed, the United States of America. At the same time in history as the Jesuits were suppressed, the American Revolution occurred. Many believe this was no accident, but an act of God.
I see the suppression of the Jesuits as providential, because without the suppression of the Jesuit order, there is no successful American Revolution, period. We have to understand that the Protestants and the Baptists of Europe had been persecuted in excess of 200 years, crying out to the Lord for some place to live where they could worship Him and seek His face and be obedient to His word. That nothing else was more important to them than that. And so as a result, the Lord answered their prayers and opened up North America to them in the 1600s, but ultimately to get a government that would protect them in their rights, freedom of worship, freedom of press, freedom of conscience, freedom of self-defense, in what came to be the American Bill of Rights and then, of course, the U.S. Constitution. So without the suppression of the Jesuit order, there is no escape for us out of Europe into North America to start a free nation where we can worship God according to the dictates of our conscience.
As the Americans were determining and setting up a constitution where Protestant principles would reign, where freedom of religion would reign, where people would have the right to bear arms, where people would have a right to a fair trial, where all of these principles are being laid down, the Jesuit order is abolished. If the Jesuit order had not been abolished in 1773, and as they watched a Protestant country rising up in the Western Hemisphere, the Jesuit order would have used not only England, who they did use in the American Revolution, they would have used France, they would have used Spain, they would have used Portugal, because those were all Catholic countries. They would have used all those countries to destroy this growing Protestant nation, and it would never have been established.
Having had their power and influence greatly diminished, the Jesuits were unable to stop the American colonies from establishing a Protestant republic. That is to say, the Jesuits were in no condition to coordinate a crusade against the new Protestant republic as they had done with England in 1588 by using the Spanish Armada. But the Jesuits had one ace in the hole. Many of the founding fathers were deists and Freemasons. They attended church services and publicly paid homage to the God of the Bible. But in reality, they did not believe in miracles or the divinity of Jesus Christ. Their God was the great architect of the universe, not the God of the Bible. Thomas Jefferson went so far as to create his own Bible by cutting out verses he agreed with and pasting them into a blank book. The verses Jefferson believed in were those where Jesus speaks of morality and loving others. Miracles, such as the virgin birth or Jesus' resurrection, were omitted since they were considered fables. Freemasons like Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Paine had little regard for the divine, miracle-working Jesus of the Bible. Thomas Paine, author of the famous pamphlet Common Sense, wrote a book called The Age of Reason. In it, Paine says, Jesus Christ wrote no account of himself. The history of him is altogether the work of other people. And as to the account given of his resurrection and ascension, it was the necessary counterpart to the story of his birth. His historians, having brought him into the world in a supernatural manner, were obliged to take him out again in the same manner. Thus, when it came time to create a document that would unite these colonies into one country, the Jesuits had an idea many preferred. It was called religious liberty. The First Amendment to the Constitution would allow all religions to exist in America, not just religions based on the Protestant Bible. In the new American Republic, Roman Catholicism was allowed to coexist with the Protestant denominations, as well as the deistic Freemasons. But most importantly, the Roman Catholics were allowed to vote just like any other citizens. This was key, as we shall see later on. For as their numbers increased, Roman Catholics could put in power other Roman Catholics, or those who were sympathetic to them, and change the nation from within.
After the Revolutionary War, voting rights of Catholics did change.
The lamp is burning low upon my tabletop. The snow is softly falling. The air is still in the silence of my room. I hear your voice softly calling. If I could only have you near to breathe a sigh or two, I would be happy just to hold the hands I love on this winter night with you.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.